WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 29th of December. My name is Arthur, and we are going to play some yours truly, Johnny Dollar, today. I'm going to start things off with one of his quarter hour dailies. The Lansing fraud matter. That's going to bookend the Fort Laramie. And from the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to play the remaining three episodes of the Lansing fraud matter. Go ahead and start out with it. It stars Bob Bailey, friend of the show here. This one had an original air date of the 12th of December, 1955.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, kiddo. Carter at Universal Adjustment.
Jim, how are you?
In a rush. I have to catch a plane to Tucson, Arizona.
Lucky you. Nice there this time of year.
No, listen. One of our brokers out there wrote a 50,000 straight life policy on a man named James Lansing. Lansing dropped dead 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And you'll never guess why.
I'll bite. Why?
Mr. Lansing starved to death.
What? With a 50,000?
Honest. He died of malnutrition. Got the coroner's report from Tucson right in my hand.
Well, if a man could buy a $50,000 policy, he ought to be able to buy himself a square meal.
Yeah. Johnny, flight 203 leaves at 10:45. You interested?
See you at the airport, Jim.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account, submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lansing fraud. Expense account item 1, $178.13. Cost a plane ticket, Hartford to Tucson. I shaved, showered, packed, and got out to the airport in time to have breakfast there. Jim Carter found me at the cashier's gate.
Hey, kiddo, you won't need a coat out there in that desert country.
As usual, Jim Carter was bigger than I thought. A man who stands 6'5" always is. A little ruddier, a little more blustery, but as efficient as ever.
I wrote a special delivery airmail to the insurance commission in Arizona this morning and explained it worldwide. They wrote the policy. We're holding up payment pending investigation.
Well, you could have told them that in person. We'll be out there as soon as the letter.
Well, I like to be formal on these things, especially with the state commission. Besides, I'd just as soon let them think we'll get around to a routine investigation later in a week or two.
In other words, you didn't tell anybody we're coming.
No, I didn't. Maybe we can work it better this way. The faster we move in and find out what's what and aren't bothered by anybody, the better off we'll be. Hey, give me your ticket, will you, Jim?
Yeah, sure.
Here you are, pal.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Johnny, that commission is going to get formal sooner or later and ask a lot of questions. Mainly, why doesn't Worldwide honor the claim and pay off the beneficiary? So we'll have to skedaddle and get ourselves some good answers for him.
Yeah, sir. Hey. You may board the plane.
Yeah, thanks, pal.
Has anybody asked that question yet?
Well, the beneficiary, sure. James Lansing's sister, named Arlene Kennedy. She called the broker, and he referred her to claims division at Worldwide, and she called them long distance, and then they called me. I told him to put her off for a while, telling her it was just routine.
I see. Is she going to be tough?
Yeah, she could be, Johnny. I understand she has money of her own, and she has some influence in and around Tucson.
Oh, a lot of money?
Yeah, and trust. She's very comfortably fixed. Yeah, watch yourself, kiddo. Mrs. Kennedy's pretty upset by the whole business. Can't blame her for that. James Lansing died on the street with no identification on him. By the time police found out who he was, a routine PM had already been performed to determine cause. You know, the county was going to bury this guy?
With $50,000 worth of insurance?
Yeah. Imagine that. Oh, excuse me, lady. Yeah, the postmortem never had happened unless Lansing dropped dead on a public street.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Well, I requested the coroner's office in Tucson to hold the body until we can get something done.
Better fix your seatbelt soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. First thing that occurred to me when I saw the PM findings was that it might not be James Lansing at all. Chronic heart condition, lung history, debility.
Doesn't sound like anybody worldwide would insure. Lansing took a physical before the policy was issued, didn't he?
Of course he did.
See, have you got any material on his insurance examination?
Sure. Right here. Standard form. James Lansing was 100% okay when the policy was issued a couple of years ago.
Malnutrition, lung history, chronic heart. Hey, how could he get in that bad shape in 2 years?
That's a pretty good question, Johnny. I bet the answer is going to be great.
Yeah. What's the examining physician's name?
Dr. Carl Mayhood, Suite 932, Valley National Building, Tucson. He's our first job, Johnny. Hey, cute stewardess.
Yeah.
Well, back to business, kiddo.
It was a long trip, and I spent most of it going over the material in Jim Carter's briefcase. By the time we circled Tucson Airport at 4:45 in the afternoon, I had the facts pretty well in mind. Expense account item 2, $350, cab fare, Tucson Airport to the Pioneer Hotel. Jim Carter and I took adjoining rooms. I unpacked my clothes and got on the phone. A Sergeant Younger, Tucson Police, had made the DOA report on James Lansing. Yes, he was in. Yes, he'd be glad to talk to me. I left Jim Carter contacting the State Medical Board.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Dollar. How do you like Tucson?
Well, I've been here 2 hours, Sergeant. Weather's certainly nice.
About like this all through the winter months. It's a little warm in the summer, though. Yes, sir. Now this Lansing matter.
Yeah.
There isn't really much to tell you, Mr. Dollar. One of the cars answered the call. A man was found dead in the doorway of a jewelry store about 4 blocks down the street.
Uh-huh. This was day before yesterday, Sergeant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went down to the scene and called the coroner's office. No identification on him, so we started to check him out. Took us a little while. By the time we got a make on him, the coroner had already performed an autopsy.
Yeah, I understood that was about the way it was. Say, tell me, how did you identify him as Lansing?
One of his prints matched up on our cards here. Lansing was booked on a traffic beef a year ago. Otherwise, we'd still be trying to make him.
You're sure it's Lansing over in the morgue?
Yeah, we're sure. His sister came down, identified him. Name of Kennedy.
Yes. Well, what did Mrs. Kennedy have to say about the cause of death?
Nothing.
That malnutrition bit didn't do a thing for her, huh?
Not a thing, no, sir. We all thought Lansing was some sort of a transient. You know, just some old bum until we identified him.
Uh-huh. Any witnesses see him die?
No, we haven't found any. According to the coroner, he'd been dead an hour or so before anybody noticed him at all. Happened early in the morning.
I see. Say, did Lansing have any other business down here other than that traffic violation?
Nope.
All right. Who do I have to see to get into the morgue?
Well, I'll phone the coroner for you. Won't be any trouble there. You want to go over now?
No, later on, maybe.
Dollar.
Yeah?
Death was from natural causes. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Then no matter how much you investigate, you people are going to have to pay off. Well, aren't you?
Maybe. We just have to be sure of one thing.
What's that?
That we insured the right man. By the time I finished with Sergeant Younger, it was 6 o'clock. I phoned the hotel, and Jim Carter, busy and efficient as always, had already gotten the vital statistics on Dr. Carl Mayhood. Northwestern University Medical School, 1940. Army Medical Corps, 1941 to 45. Dr. Mayhood's license to practice medicine in Arizona was issued in June of 1946. Married, 2 children, income and practice, according to Carter, was average. In person, Dr. Mayhood was a tall, blonde man in his late 30s. He looked like he needed a week's rest and a few laughs.
Day and night. You have an alarm clock around the house, Mrs. Gartland? Well, use that. Yes. Goodbye. Yes, sir?
Dr. Mayhood, my name's Johnny Dollar. I'm from Hartford. I represent the Adjustment Bureau handling a claim for worldwide insurance.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm an investigator.
So?
July 14th, 1953, you examined a man I'd like to get some information about.
I hope this won't take too long. Was it an insurance examination?
Yeah. The man's name was James Lansing. Do you happen to remember him?
James Lansing. No, I can't say that I do remember him, Mr. Dollar. What about him?
Well, I'd like to show you the standard examination form first. Is this your signature? Is that your signature, Doctor?
I suppose so, yes. I don't know.
Aren't you sure?
Well, how many people are certain of their signatures? It looks like my signature, Mr. Dollar. I can't say for sure if it is or isn't.
All right, what about these? Are these notations on the form in your handwriting?
I would think so. I don't know. It looks like my handwriting. I can't say.
According to this form, you gave Mr. Lansing a complete physical and pronounced him sound.
That's my job as a doctor on these insurance examinations. Anything unusual about that?
Mr. Lansing died 2 days ago, Doctor.
There's nothing unusual about that either. Did they send you all the way from Hartford so I could tell you to go back there and buy a book on heart disease? You can get them anywhere in the country. The simplest kind. Not even a doctor's book. Read it. Know it. And don't take up my valuable time. Now, let me have that.
Sure.
This patient Lansing was 41 years old. If he had no heart condition when I examined him 2 years ago, and obviously he didn't, according to my findings, it's entirely reasonable to assume that he could have developed heart trouble in a very short while, even the day after I examined him. You people gauge those things in your premiums. Why do you bother me?
Are you finished?
Huh?
I take it you've had yourself a tough day, Doctor, and you don't want to be bothered with anybody. Now, look, I'm not here to bother you. Just from what's on this sheet and what's happened, you're in enough trouble to get yourself involved in a police investigation. I'm here to try to avoid all that, for you as well as me. And please don't lecture me on heart trouble, incidentally. We know the statistics by age, race, color, climate, state, religion, occupation, geographical area, and sex. It so happens we don't have to go into that, Doctor. James Lansing died of malnutrition. I said Lansing died of malnutrition.
I'll be doggone.
Coroner's report. Look for yourself.
Well, he should know.
Now, was it possible for you to overlook that condition at the time you examined Lansing?
If he'd been suffering from malnutrition in any degree, I would have discovered it and noted it.
According to the coroner's findings, James Lansing had been ill several years. The lung and heart condition existed at least 10 years. Can you explain how you were able to pronounce him physically fit, Doctor?
No, I can't.
Well, how about this? The angina condition.
I could have missed that, but it's unlikely with the degree of aggravation noted here on the coroner's report.
Have you had much experience reading chest x-rays, Doctor?
Of course.
The lesions reported by the coroner.
If there'd been any lesions on Lansing's chest, I would have reported them. I can't explain that either.
Well, now you understand why I'm here.
Certainly. I wish I could help you.
You can. Just let me see your file copy of the examination. And the x-ray you took at that time.
I'll have my nurse look them up. I don't keep files over a year old up here. We have a place down in the basement.
Okay.
I'll have them for you tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
As soon as possible.
I'd like to have them first thing, Doctor.
You're kind of on me, aren't you?
That's right, Doctor. I'm kind of on you.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Lansing fraud tomorrow.
Tomorrow, $50,000 is a good price for a killing. Most anybody will listen for that kind of money. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Hey, Paul, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to Arthur's Grand Hour on WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Hey, Paul!
Interesting. That promo or ID or whatever it is went ahead and repeated itself. Yes, you are listening to Arthur and this here on the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM or and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Again, that was yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We heard the first in a weekly installment, the quarter hour dailies, the Lansing fraud matter. We'll hear the remainder of that show. It's bookending what I'm about to play next, which is Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr starring as Captain Quince in Fort Laramie. This was created by Norman McDonald, famous for his Gunsmoke. Pretty much brought everybody except actors over with him, his writing staff, sound staff. So go ahead and start in with that. Thanks for listening.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Afternoon, Captain.
Afternoon.
What'll it be?
Oh, glass of rye?
Yes, sir. Hey, Captain. Afternoon off?
Nope. I just came in to talk to Smithson about some freighting. Well, here's luck.
Well, now, thank you, Captain.
Thought that was a soldier's mount out front.
What is that?
Hello, Captain.
Banyan.
You surprised?
I didn't expect to see you here. Thought you'd be long gone from these parts, Banyan.
Gone, come back, and on my way again.
Huh? To where?
Oh, I think I'll try California, San Francisco this time.
I hear it's a nice place. San Francisco.
Even this place is nice when you aren't in the army.
Hey, like a drink?
I don't mind.
Another glass here, bartender.
Coming right up.
Yeah. How's civilian life?
Oh, you should try it, Captain. Nobody issuing orders from Washington all the time, you know. Orders telling you to do something foolish about some other foolish thing. I don't suppose any of that's changed much.
Oh, Washington never changes.
All right, gents.
There you are.
Thanks, Quince. In for the day?
Nope. Oh, I'm on my way back right now.
Oh. I thought you might like to join me.
Doing what?
Nice poker game going on over there. They've been at it 2 days, two nights now. Now, that fellow there in the Stetson from Montana, he's winning a lot. But he's getting pretty tired. I figure it's just about time for me to walk in with a good night's sleep. Don't you?
Might be.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Just figure I'll have him wore down in, oh, 6-7 hours. About the time you're sitting horse at retreat. They still have that, don't they? Retreat.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the drink, Captain.
Captain.
Hmm?
That fella you were just talking with. Been around here 2 or 3 days. Don't seem to know what to do with himself.
Fill this up, will you?
Sure. Seemed familiar in a way, though. Soldier, was he?
He was in the army. But he was never a soldier. Yeah, see you later.
Bright and shining for dress parade, soldiers. Bright and shining.
Oh, how soon, Sergeant?
They'll sound off any minute, soldier, and you just hope you're not late.
I thought this was a fighting outfit.
How's that?
Well, we had a dress parade last week, Sergeant.
And there may be another next week. Oh. I just want to hear wind going by me when that bugle blows. Just wind. When the dust settles, B Company better be all present or accounted for. Carry on.
Company will make a good showing, sir.
It had better, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
The book says a clean soldier's a good soldier.
Yes, sir.
And Major Daggett goes by the book. All right, Gorse. Call the men in.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Gorse.
Sir?
Be sure Trooper Lineley stays awake this time.
Guards! Post! Sir, the parade is formed.
Take your post, sir. Dismiss the parade, sir.
Parade is dismissed. Officers, forward. Guide, center. Officers, halt.
You're to be complimented, gentlemen. The troopers were well turned out. There are no orders to be published, so that's all, gentlemen.
You walking over to the mess, Quince?
Oh, I'm going back to the orderly room. Corporal Mercer has got some reports for me. I'll see you at the mess later, Meade.
All right.
Retreat parade is still just the same, isn't it?
How did you get on this post?
Pretty simple. Just told the sentry I wanted to enlist in the army.
What do you want, Banyan?
I wasn't lying to the sentry. I want to enlist.
You don't have any use for the army. You didn't while you were in.
You're going to try to talk me out of it?
Come on in. Didn't that poker game turn out too well?
Oh, that feller from Montana, he wasn't as tired as he looked. He cleaned me out. So I guess I'm not going to San Francisco.
Men don't usually enlist in the army for just a meal and a bed.
Oh, that's right, Captain. Generally find a meal and a bed any place.
Why do you want to get back in the army, Banyan?
Now, once before, I filled out an enlistment blank. And I saw things asking me my full name and where I was from and how old and if I had prior service and all things like that. I never saw a line on one of them asking why.
Corporal Mercer.
Yes, sir.
Will you tell the doctor I have a recruit to be examined?
Yes, sir.
Here, fill this out.
Oh, sure.
If you're physically acceptable, I'll swear you in tonight.
Oh, I got a civilian horse and some other things back in town.
Then you can go back to town and dispose of them. Report back here first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I hope you know what you're doing, Banyan.
I thought on it. Long time I thought on it.
All prisoner accounted for, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Dismiss the company.
Yes, sir. Company! Dismiss!
Sergeant Garst.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you. We have a new man coming in today, Sergeant. Non-commissioned officer.
A non-com, sir?
That's right.
This company?
This company.
He transfer out here, sir?
He re-enlisted. It's Will Banyan.
Banyan?
Banyan served 6 years. He was entitled to 3 stripes coming in.
Captain.
What is it?
Banyan never could forget he was related to some officer on the general staff back in Washington. He held that up in front of everybody. It was kind of touchy then. Could be the same all over again.
That isn't quite clear.
Well, Some of the officers didn't know how to take him. Neither did the men. He just got himself some easy stripes.
Easy or not, he's got them, Sergeant.
You asked me to keep this company running, sir. I like to keep it running. There's no place for Banyan and me both.
I'll see you after mess.
Yes, sir.
So I left her right there. Yeah. I took the first stage into Cheyenne. Then I came on here.
You were a civilian about 8 months then.
Yeah. 8 months, 2 weeks, 3 days, and four...
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Washburn. Banyan, you may be in civilian clothes right now, but you're in the Army again. Now get on your feet.
You know where the mess hall is located?
Oh, no, I think I can still remember.
As soon as you've had your breakfast, report to Sergeant Gorse. He'll take you over to AQM stores.
All right, sir.
Mr. Washburn...
Yes, sir.
Did you read the special orders this morning?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you notice that Will Banyan holds the rank of sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Then just remember you hold a commission. He's a sergeant.
Yes, sir. But I thought... I mean, you and Sergeant Gorse...
You thought incorrectly, Mr. Washburn.
Yes, sir.
Had your breakfast?
No, sir.
Come on.
Captain. Lieutenant Syverts and I were talking a while back. Sergeant Gorse isn't going to like another sergeant around.
He doesn't like it, Mr. Washburn, and I don't like it. But we have to put up with it.
Yes, sir. I'll remember that.
Housewife kit, bridle, lariat and hobbles.
Bridle, lariat, hobbles.
Picket pin, yeah. Razor, mirror, soap, comb.
Right.
Two blankets.
Two blankets.
Bacon can, curry comb, collar ornaments, cross saber, Colt revolver.
Yeah.
Springfield carbine.
Carbine?
Canteen and mess outfit.
Canteen and mess outfit.
Check?
Check.
All right, stow them away, Sergeant.
Sure, Sergeant.
When you're squared away, report back here.
Sure. Oh, Captain.
Carry on, Sergeant Banyan.
Yes, sir.
All right, Gorse, as you were.
Yes, sir.
Gorse, where are you putting Banyan?
With Corporal Hunter, sir.
Can you put him in your quarters?
Sir?
I'd like him to live in your quarters.
I'd just as soon he didn't, Captain.
But that's the way we're going to do it.
Captain, I got to speak my mind, sir.
All right.
No man ever come in this company I couldn't break in, but you're asking me to handle a three-striper that's got a general working for him in Washington. You're asking me to treat him like a sergeant when he ain't a good enough man to be a private in anybody's company.
Sergeant?
You told me to speak out, sir. Well, there's only room for one sergeant here.
Now I'm telling you to shut up, Sergeant, and stay shut.
Yes, sir.
That's all. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Oh, at ease, Captain.
I have a request from Sergeant Gorse asking for transfer to Fort Lincoln.
Oh?
He gave the reason that he intends to marry a girl living in that area. That's a lie, isn't it?
He's not intending to marry anyone, as far as I know, sir.
Then it's Banyan?
Sergeant Gorse feels that Banyan's rank is unfair.
And it's up to you to convince him that Banyan's rank was automatic when he reenlisted.
Sergeant Gorse can't regard it in that light, sir. He feels that Banyan's influence in Washington helped him get the rank. Not only that, but Banyan's rating moves back the others a whole notch.
Your company could go sour because of him. I don't intend to allow that, Captain.
You'll transfer Banyan?
I'll transfer Gorse, if that's what he wants.
Sir, Gorse is the most valuable man.
We can't have this kind of discontent in the company. And Gorse has requested transfer. His rank and seniority in service require me to give the request consideration. I'll wire Colonel Thaler at Fort Lincoln today and ask if he'll accept Sergeant Gorse. I'm sure he'll be glad to.
Major, would you withhold that application? I don't want to lose Gorse or Banyan.
I'd expect to keep them both.
Well, I thought I'd talk with Sergeant Gorse once more. I had the impression once that Banyan's reenlistment was a casual thing.
No man enlists in the Army casually.
Yes, sir, that's exactly it.
And I'll set this aside till I hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
Kind of peaceful this way. I said it's kind of peaceful, Captain. I like this time of night best on a post.
You do?
Well, yes, sir. You know, I feel kind of sorry for Seibert's pulling OD on a night like this. A cigar, Captain?
Huh? Oh, no thanks. Well, I think I'll take a stroll. Like to come along?
I believe I...
Come along, Mr. Washburn.
Oh, yes, sir. Captain.
Hmm?
Is it true, I mean, about Sergeant Gorse wanting a transfer?
Yes, it's true.
Because of Banyan?
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Gorse is the best man I ever seen in his job. Be difficult to replace him.
It would indeed.
Evening, Captain. Lieutenant.
Oh, hello, Sergeant. Oh, Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir?
Step over here, will you? I ask the Major not to act on your transfer till tomorrow morning, Sergeant.
All right, Captain.
Chances are, in another outfit, you'd meet another sergeant wearing stripes like yours.
I guess that's right enough, but only one of us should be wearing them here.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mr. Washburn?
Why?
In all fairness.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with Sergeant Gorse, sir.
So am I. And I think Lieutenant Seibert's would, too.
How's that, Captain?
You heard me. There's room for only one sergeant in this outfit.
Do I understand the Captain?
It's not up to the Major or myself to settle this. It's the sergeant's business.
Do I understand you, sir?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yes, sir. I think I do. Will the captain and lieutenant excuse me, sir?
Good night, Sergeant.
Sir, he understood you, but I didn't. I'm sorry,
He's
sir.
Going to look up Sergeant Banyan, Mr. Washburn, and the chances are only one of them will be sergeant by morning. Best man of the two.
Yes, sir, but who is the best man?
Sergeant Gorse has just gone to settle that question, I think. Yeah. Come on, Mr. Washburn.
Captain, sir?
Banyan?
I have a request to make of the captain, sir.
And what is it?
I wish to be relieved of my stripes, sir.
I thought you might request transfer, but I didn't
think... No, sir. Not a transfer. I would want to stay here in this company.
I see.
Once the captain asked me why I re-enlisted in the Army, I could answer the captain now.
Go ahead, Banyan.
Yes, sir. I served in the Army once with a general back of me. I failed that time. I thought I hated the Army, but I came back because I hated failing worse. Does this make any sense to the captain?
Yes, it does.
Yes, sir. I told the captain I thought about it before I came back in. I knew I'd have sergeant's pay. I didn't know I was starting to fail again. I know that now. Last night, Sergeant Gorse explained some things to me. We talked it over outside the fort.
Mm-hmm. What happened to your face?
I fell off my horse, sir.
A good cavalry soldier falls off his horse sometimes.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Captain. I don't mean to again.
Lee.
Oh, morning, Major.
Hey, isn't that Will Banyan and Sergeant Gorse together?
Why, yes, sir.
Where'd they fight it out?
Off the compound, sir.
Yeah, that's good. Lee, why'd you let Banyan re-enlist in the first place?
He wanted to. And he had guts enough to come back here where he'd failed and try again.
Yeah, that coffee from the mess hall?
Mm-hmm.
Smells good. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by E. Jack Newman, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Moyles, Paul Duboff, James Nusser, John Daner, Sam Edwards, and Lou Krugman.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Little boys can be the most exasperating creatures on earth. They can also be very amusing and lovable indeed. A CBS radio dramatic series that makes the most of this fact is that delightful program called My Son Jeep, heard every evening, Monday through Friday, over most of these same stations.
Talk.
talk about little boys being exasperating. Thank you, lads, for that show plug. Yes, we heard Fort Laramie. I forgot to introduce it. That one was titled The New Recruit. That had an original air date of the 22nd of April, 1956, starring Raymond Burr. Everyone really knows him as Perry Mason. Actually, Fort Laramie only lasted one season, and then Raymond Burr began his portrayal of Perry Mason. Again, like I said, at the top of the hour, first of all, yeah, you're listening to the Grand Hour here with Arthur on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Back to the top of the hour, I said I was going to bookend Fort Laramie with the Lansing Fraud Matter with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. These are the quarter hour dailies. So this one would have been aired on the 13th of December, 1955. I'm going to go ahead and play into the 6 o'clock hour, and I spliced together the remaining 3 episodes of the Lansing Fraud Matter, so we'll hear those when it crosses over to the 6 o'clock hour. Thanks for listening.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Dr. Mayhood, I sent you a copy of Lansing's insurance examination this morning. Did you get it all right?
Yes, I did, Doctor. Thank you very much. Just looked it over.
And I take it everything's all right.
It's an exact duplicate of the one sent to the insurance company, and that part's okay. But it doesn't straighten out matters on this case.
I'm not concerned with your case particularly. I just hope you're through bothering me, Mr. Dollar.
Not quite.
What does that mean?
I want another hour of your time, Doctor. I want you to go over to the coroner's office with me and look at Mr. Lansing's body.
What for?
To identify it. I've got to know if he's the man you examined or not. About an hour? Doctor, I can get an injunction.
All right.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, Tucson, Arizona. To the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is a further accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lansing fraud. Or was it a fraud? Expense account item 3, $10, loan, to Jim Carter, who was working with me on the case.
Thanks, buddy. I'll pay you back as soon as I can cash a check. Been so busy, I haven't had time. How's your doctor friend?
Well, I'm going to pick him up pretty soon and go over to the coroner's office. I want him to look at James Lansing and see if he's the same man he passed on the insurance examination 2 years ago. Either we insured the wrong man or Dr. Mayhood examined the wrong man. I don't know which. How have you done so far?
Well, besides what I told you yesterday about Dr. Mayhood?
Yeah.
Well, he's in healthy financial shape. Not good or bad, but, you know, healthy. His house halfway paid for. He owns one car outright and has 8 months to go on another one.
All of which doesn't mean anything if he phonied up an insurance examination.
Yeah, that's true, kiddo. That's true.
You know, I've been thinking. This would have worked, but James Lansing died on the street and the city performed an autopsy. Death, malnutrition. For a private physician, without an autopsy hanging over him, it could have been heart failure or most anything. Jim, I think we can do whatever we want around here. Step on anybody's toes, make any kind of noise we like. With this kind of situation to investigate, we don't have to be careful.
Easy, Johnny.
Lansing's body's in the morgue. There's no doubt that it's him, Exhibit A. But we aren't sure that his $50,000 policy was issued legitimately.
What are you getting to?
Call the State Insurance Commission, Jim. Let them know we think this is a bad one from top to bottom. Let them know that so that when the beneficiary starts to complain, they can tell her. It might scare her and whoever helped her into being more ridiculous than they've been already.
I'm going to hold off, Johnny.
Why?
Until I see how you and Dr. Mayhood make out at the morgue.
Expense account item 4, $2, cab fare. From my hotel to the Valley National Building. I picked up a scowling Dr. Mayhood, and we drove over to the coroner's office.
Mr. Dollar, this is a waste of your time and mine.
Sorry to inconvenience you, Doctor, but it's necessary.
I suppose so. And I suppose you have a job to do. But I have a job, too. Mr. Franks, the insurance broker, telephones me and says he's sending over a man for a physical. I do the physical. It's immaterial to me whether the man I examine is qualified for insurance or not. My job is to examine him. It's up to the insurance company to determine...
Yeah?
Johnny Dollar, this is Dr. Mayhood. I believe Sergeant Younger phoned...
Yeah, this way.
Dollar, it's up to the insurance company to do what they want to about the examination.
I understand all that, Doctor.
Then don't ignore it with your high-pressure tactics. Because examination is the only part I have to do with this business. I examined a man named James Lansing 2 years ago. You have a copy of my findings on that examination. I stand on them. And don't forget it.
I don't forget for 1 minute. Nor do I forget that what you found and what an autopsy surgeon found are completely different opinions on Lansing's physical condition.
Here we go, boys. There's the body.
Pull the sheet back, please.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor?
I called my lawyer after you called me today. I won't be intimidated, Mr. Dollar.
You aren't being intimidated, Doctor. You're being asked to cooperate.
Then maybe I don't like the way you ask for cooperation. My attorney will be in my office to represent me if you bother me any more about this.
You want to look at this body?
Your attorney can't refute what's already been established, Doctor. You pronounced James Lansing in good physical condition 2 years ago. An autopsy report shows that when he died 2 days ago, he was in very bad physical condition. So bad that 2 years ago, he couldn't possibly have gone through a careful examination in your office without some of the symptoms being detected by you.
Where is your medical degree and what responsibility?
Oh, why don't you shut up and take a look and tell me if you've ever seen this man before?
I won't be spoken to that way.
Just a minute. I'll get an injunction and I'll charge malpractice and negligence if I have to.
Oh? On what grounds?
You're being stupid, Doctor. All you have to do is look at that corpse and tell me if he's the man you examined in your office 2 years ago. Well?
I don't know whether I've seen this man before or not.
Well, does he look familiar in any way?
I can't say. I might have examined this man. I don't know.
This is James Lansing, Doctor. The name you filled in on your physical examination for the insurance.
I know that.
Is this the man you examined?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was 2 years ago. If I see a man for 3 hours in the course of a physical examination, am I expected to remember his face or any details about him 2 years later?
Is there any way you can determine whether or not this is the man you examined in your office?
No. Not that I know of. Is there any way you can determine it?
Believe me, Doctor, I can try. And I did try. That afternoon, over the protests of Dr. Mayhood, I took all of the personnel connected with his office down to the morgue. A nurse, a receptionist, the x-ray technician, and a laboratory worker. None of them recognized the body of James Lansing. Expense account item 5, 10 cents, one phone call to Jim Carter, who'd spent the day preparing the necessary forms for the insurance commission and gathering data on Lansing's beneficiary.
You think Dr. Mayhood was in on it?
He's too mad, too belligerent, Jim.
You don't sound too sure.
Well, and maybe he just strikes me as an inept doctor. Well, let's say Mayhood's way down on my list. He examined a man who said he was James Lansing. It could have been anybody.
All right, we'll let it go that way for a while. Any ideas?
I'm on my way out to Lansing's old address. He had an apartment on the other side of town. I want to see how he's lived out there.
Still want me to go ahead with the insurance commission?
Yeah, go ahead. The manager at James Lansing's apartment house happened to be a woman named Anita Regan. She also happened to be willing to go back down to the coroner's office with me and view the mortal remains.
There you are.
Oh.
Have you ever seen this man before, Mrs. Regan?
Yes, sir. That's Mr. Lansing, apartment 34.
You're positive?
Oh, yes. I've seen him every day for almost 2 years.
Okay. Want to smoke?
I want to get out of here.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why I'm acting this way. He doesn't look any different now than he's looked before. I've seen him stretched out like that 100 times.
What?
I mean, almost like that. Out, stony. Only I guess it's because I knew he was just drunk then, not dead.
Oh, I see.
He was crazy carrying on the way he did. Whew. feels good to be out in the sunlight again.
Yeah.
I'll take that smoke now, Mr. Fowler.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Lansing used to get up around 10 every morning. He'd look awful, but he was always kind of nice, polite, you know. He'd be regular as clockwork. He'd walk past my door and tip his hat and go right down to the store and come back in a little while with a sack of groceries, a bottle of milk for his cat, and some donuts for himself and some booze.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd just lock himself up in his apartment and stay there all day, drinking.
Real alcoholic, huh?
Well, I'd say so. At least I wasn't surprised he starved to death. He can't live on whiskey. He was fried to the ears by noon every day, as long as I knew him.
Mr. Lansing didn't work then?
Well, I think he tried to sell real estate once, a long time ago.
Oh?
But how could he? I understand he was a retired engineer or something like that.
He pays rent?
Oh, yes. Always seemed to have enough money to get along.
Did he have any family, Mrs. Regan?
Well, I know he's got a sister living in town somewhere.
What about his friends?
He seemed to do all his drinking alone. Say, you're from the insurance company. You should know about his family.
Apparently, there are a lot of things we don't know.
Hmm?
A man named James Lansing moved into your apartment house 2 years ago. He didn't work, but he had enough money for his rent and his liquor. He also had enough money to buy some expensive insurance. Very expensive. Somehow, he passed an insurance examination, and then he suddenly died. No one, nothing. Just one beneficiary.
Mr. Dollar, you don't suppose somebody just gave him enough money to get along so he'd drink himself to death, do you?
That's one way of looking at it, Mrs. Regan.
Oh, that poor man. That poor, poor man.
I spent another hour with Mrs. Regan, gathering as much background as I could about the last 2 years of James Lansing's life. I also spoke to the janitor of the building and two of the tenants. They all verified the fact that Lansing had been drinking heavily for better than 18 months prior to his death. No one seemed to know why. Jim Carter had an answer.
I talked to our man in L.A., Johnny. Lansing lived there before he came to Tucson. He had several arrests for drunkenness, never married. One time he made his living as an engineer. Finally, he got fired for drinking on the job. Yeah, just one of those chronic cases. First arrest was back in 1939.
How's the beneficiary holding on?
The sister?
Yeah.
Well, Mrs. Kennedy was pretty upset when the insurance commission notified her we were in town making an investigation. Indignant, put out, things like that. She wanted to know how long it'd take. This all comes secondhand from the insurance commission. Johnny,
hmm?
A broker named Hillary Frank sold the policy.